them are seen best by looking back at them, but that doesn't mean they weren't true all along. I just wasn't aware of them. These are truths on the subject of giving, which I don't speak on constantly, and we don't make an issue of by having offering plates. We don't even own any. People want to give, they can give. They don't want to give, that costs them. They think it saves them, that's difference of opinion. But I want to speak on the blessings of giving in a most practical way. There are many people, and I'm becoming more and more aware of them, who have fallen because of wrong teaching on this area into almost a scorning of giving to God. They support this and justify it by various logical explanations, which I can listen to, but I've read too much Bible to agree with. There are some that just have heard the explanations, and while they don't scorn, neither do they participate in a way that honors God Almighty. I'm fairly well aware of the financial thinking, strategy, and understanding in the world. I've observed, I've listened, I used to read, and understand a lot of the ins and outs, though there are some areas still mystify me. But I understand their thinking. But I'm not talking about the world's methods and philosophies. I'm talking about God's. The kingdom of this world has its own ways, and the kingdom of God has its ways. And they're not the same. And I realize most people, and I've not really dealt with the issue this morning, far as I know, except in touching it going by, ever in one message. But I feel the need at this point in life to just open up some things that you may be able to look back on at a future date and see, this is how God works. Now, God doesn't work with everybody the same. He works one way for his children and one way for those that are not yet his children. And again, as I say, the thinking of the kingdom of this world and the thinking of the kingdom of God are different. I'm speaking on behalf of the kingdom of God, things the Bible says. These are not to be abused, manipulated. I'm not talking about a health and wealth gospel, not talking about a gospel of prosperity. I'm not talking about how to get rich in three simple lessons. I'm simply explaining things that'll help you better understand God and how he operates. Let's pray for wisdom. I need it. Heavenly Father, give me wisdom of what to say, how to say it, and not to misuse your precious word, nor to try to twist your arm for what we want in our flesh. But help us to understand you do have ways of working, and we can work in cooperation with that. Please guide me. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Luke chapter 6. and verse 38. All right, would you read that verse together for me now? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Some years ago, we had a lady come and attend until she heard us touch on this precious truth, though it was out of other verses. And it greatly concerned her and upset her. And she asked for a written response to a direct question. And the question took a bit of space. The answer would take longer. Did I believe that God blessed people because he was a good God or because they did right? Now that wasn't the actual question, but that was the basis. For she deeply believed that God blessed everybody equally, no matter how they did or didn't do. I responded with a multitude of Bible verses because she'd made it clear that if I did believe that, she couldn't worship here. She wasn't a member, she was a visitor, but she was inquiring. And I answered, yes, we do believe that God blesses everybody to a degree, but there are specific blessings kept for those that do right. And she kept her promise, and we've not seen her since. This was in this area. She'd been taught that by people in this area. Jesus said, give and it'll be given unto you. It isn't he's going to give everybody the same. God enables, he makes available ways for people to get on. But there are special truths held in his word that if you give, it'll be given unto you. Obviously implied if you don't, what'll happen? Now this is not so that you'll give and get. Some people give to get. That's all wrong. We'll see that. But God does take care of those who give. And it would seem that he'd multiply it. What you give, you'll get in full measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Sounds like there'll be more, but that's not why you give. No, no. That's so that you know you're taken care of, and since you love to give, there's potential for more giving in the future based on your giving in the past. There was the rich fool who'd been greatly blessed and his barns were full and he had more. He said, I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns and then I'll be set for life. I say, soul, thou hast much goods, be satisfied and I can go into early retirement and live the high life. God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul will be required of thee. He wasn't to give so he could get and have it easy. He had the potential to do more than ever, but he was given to get. This is an encouragement on the matter of giving. Jesus taught, according to Acts chapter 20, it's more blessed to give than to receive. The focus is on the giving. The receiving is to enable a person to be able to do more in the giving. Let's go to another passage, Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. This is in the middle of a most interesting passage. It's there to connect the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the book of Malachi, and well towards the end of the Old Testament. Malachi 3 and verse 10. Would you read that verse together for me now? Tithing will lead to a problem. Right tithing, all the tithes, and we'll not go into that, opens the windows of heaven, said, check me out, test me, prove me, and my promise. I'll open the windows of heaven. Of course, when he did that flood time, there was more than enough water. Now it's a matter of the financial realm. Said, see if I'll not pour out a blessing on you. You'll be blessed for the giving. And you'll have more than you have room to take care of. Don't be like the rich fool. Say, well, I'll build bigger barns. I'll make greater investments. And then I'll rest. No. Now you have the potential to do more. That was what was in your heart. You did what you could, and now you can see opportunity for more. You say, I don't see how giving what I have is going to make it so I can give more later. If it's given, it's given. Welcome to the club of the world. That's how they think. That's the math they have. We're talking about divine math, divine understanding. A person doesn't get into giving a lot when they finally get a lot, but rather they start and God grows their potential. Say, well, that doesn't make sense to me. The only thing I can say sensible about it is God knows, God's smarter than we are, and he's giving us good advice. You want to give more? Then give now instead of try to give one big gift at the end. Make your steps. Watch as God provides for you. Press down. Shaken together. Going over. That it'll come. From heaven there'll be blessings. Blessings on what you have. Blessings on what it could have cost you here and there. Needs that might have jumped up, taken care of. If you'll examine the verses around this verse, I think you can find three or four similar promises, either stated or implied. He takes curses off. He improves what you've invested in what he can do. He supplies. This is not a random or singular promise. It's God's promise. And you get the benefits. And you look at what you've done. You look back and you start seeing the hand of God as he takes care of those that take care of his kingdom. Let's take a third passage, and maybe this one will be a little more in detail for you. Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. This verse I've quoted and mentioned at missions conference time. As the poor and needy of the world are reached by missionaries, whether they're poor and needy of soul, of the gospel, of what it is, but we go to try to help them. We invest. Here's Proverbs 19, verse 17. Only in the last years have I begun to get below the surface of this one. But I'm seeing things that are marvelous truths. Proverbs 19, verse 17. All right, would you read that together for me now? Here's the process. You have so much money, you give some or all, whatever, to somebody who's poor. Not the beggars that are trying to avoid work, but to the needy who are doing what they can. And you see the need, and you meet the need. Well, you had it, you gave it, it's gone. God said, I saw that. Said, what you gave them, you put on loan to me. There's difference between a gift and a loan. You say, well, they're so poor, wouldn't do any good to loan it to them. They might never be able to pay it back. That's true. That's true. But, well, you gave it, you don't have it. Oh, but I'm going to get it back. Not from them, no, from God. Who would you rather loan money to, God or a poor person? Think it over. So you give it to them, you gave it up, you loaned it to me, and I will pay you back. So it didn't cost me a penny long range to give money to a poor person. I simply put it on loan where I can guarantee 100% it'll be back. All of it. Maybe more than all of it. Do you remember some of the parables of Jesus? The man's going in a far country. And he gives some money to various people. Some more than others. Some are worthy of handling more, no more about it. When he came back, he asked them, what did you do with yours? And, well, I doubled it. Fine, fine, I reward you. What did you do with yours? I used it and worked with it, and I doubled it. Here it is. Great. What did you do with yours? I was afraid I'd lose it. One case, he puts it on a shelf. Another case, the man buries it in the ground. He said, here's what you gave me. Did Jesus approve of the last person? No. Jesus believed in capitalism. If you have, invest it and grow it. Something you understand, you can work in, you can balance out risks and so on. But he expected an increase. Now, if Jesus expected an increase and taught it that way, what do you think he, the Father, and the Holy Ghost are going to do with your money? Just give it back 100%? I don't think so. If you get it on a loan, you at least pay the going interest rate, though it seems that the ones that were honored double the money. Who knows? You give $10 to a poor person, you might get 30 back. Might be several years. But you gave it away. You let loose on it. You help poor people. It'll guarantee the safety of your investment. And you can't get that from any stockbroker in town. The banks will say, we'll pay you 1%, you loan us enough. You say inflation's getting 6 or 7% taken away. So I give you $100, I get $101 back. It's worth about $95. Lost money by putting it in the bank. Now, I'm not preaching against banks. But I'm saying when you put it in the bank of heaven, it turns out better. Because God believes in growth. And he said, you loaned it to me. And the longer till I pay you back, the more it'll be. Isn't that a wonderful truth? The world makes no such promises. And the world can't always keep the promises they make. But God can. We know God. We belong to God. These are laws of investment in His kingdom and detailing how to go about it. I've told you this story when Dad and I came home from the hospital from being there for months with polio. Day before Christmas, and there was no Christmas dinner to be had. Things were tight. Christmas morning, the doorbell rang about 5:30, 6 o'clock. By the time we got there, there was nobody in sight. But there was a bushel basket with all the fixings, turkey included, for a Christmas dinner for people struggling. We didn't think of ourselves as poor, but I guess he did. Took Dad months to figure out who it was and thank the man. And when he thanked him, the man said, how'd you know I did? Said, I didn't till you agreed to it now. But I was a boy in seventh grade. I didn't leave there, that village, until I graduated from college. Do you think I missed God's prospering him in his job and his ways of living? God keeps his promises. It didn't cost him, though it cost him to get the things. In the long run, he more than made back what he did for us and perhaps for others. There are opportunities abound around us, and we miss the chance to be a blessing. There are great needs all over the world. We have great opportunities. Let's take another scripture, 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9. Verse number 6 is the Apostle Paul teaching the church. Would you read verse 6 together for me now? Any gardener or farm child will understand that. If you only plant one tomato plant, you'll not be selling them by the boxes. If you plant 100 tomato plants, don't figure that'll just mean a slice every afternoon while they're coming in. How you sow determines how you reap. Little gets a little, a lot gets a lot. Verse 7 now. What kind of giver does God love? Cheerful. Does he want you to give because of need or necessity? No. Does he want you to give out of obligation, I have to give up this much of my money? No. I grew up seeing people put money in the offering plate, feeling they needed to because somebody was watching. I've seen ushers watch the plate, the aisle. I remember a godly deacon when I was a boy, he'd hand him the plate and then he'd turn his back and not look. And that was rather unique in my growing up. So some people, they reached in at the last moment to get something, hoping it wasn't too much, and they gave it. God wasn't wanting that kind of giving. That's why we designed ours like we did. We want people happy, wanting to give. that are cheerful about it. Here's an opportunity to help some poor people. Over 70% of the money comes through the offerings here. Goes out to the mission field. Money that's designated for the Deacon's Fund helps take care of poor people. And we managed to make it on the rest. We've set it up that way. Help the poor. Help the poor around the world. Help send missionaries to assist them and teach them in these things. Not, you got to pay so much to be in good standing. I was preaching in a church in another state, and before the message where I was to preach, they had everybody stand up. They had them excited. And they hadn't heard me preach yet. I'd take care of that. But the treasurer and treasuress, I think they were, came and stood, one on each side of the offering table, and they had everybody there file by, and they had good memories. They made mental note of how much each person put in. If they didn't get enough in there, they'd get a visit that week. Interesting visitation program. I've seen a lot of things. But people need to be cheerful. Carolyn and I went to a Brethren Assembly in Illinois. And they didn't have any offering place. They didn't even have an offering box in the auditorium. I asked, where do you give your offering? Well, we only want the members to give visitors for free. And we've got in the back room where you can't find it. Well, I thought that went one step beyond cheerful. But they're cheerful enough about it. Some have said, give till you feel good. Some have said, all they're after is my money. No, we're not after yours. Just want to know, do you want to make an investment or not? God's program's gotten on. It's going to continue. You ought to want in and enjoy being in. And if you put a little in, that's all you're going to get back. You give a lot, you get a lot back. These are God's rules. Say, well, it doesn't work out with pencil and paper. No, not even with a computer. But see, those are geared to this world's ways. All right, one more scripture, Matthew 6. Matthew 6. More blessed to give and think about the giving, but it's wrong to miss the receiving that enabled you to give like you wanted to. God sees the heart and he honors those whose heart's right, not so they can have it easy. No, that's merchandising God. And the Bible. We don't merchandise those things. But it's an explanation of how there can be increasing ability based on present sacrifice. You'll find this in Philippians 4. You'll find it in Proverbs 3. You'll find it in a multitude of places. All right, Matthew 6, verse 19 and 20. Would you read those two verses for me now? Where do you place your investments? See, that means I can't have anything. No. You're putting money in a bank that'll never break. You see, we've got the Federal Reserve System. Read the fine print. They guarantee to return your money within 99 years. Now, they've never taken that long, but that doesn't make me real comfortable. I don't believe I have 99 more years in me. Do you? That's the best the world's come up with, far as I know, in any country at any time. But God's bank never breaks. And neither is it slow on keeping his promises and provisions. You say, well, then I'd only have it then. No, we've been looking how God then from the bank prospers you back here. Just like he does those that care for the poor. You can have it safe. You might, those of you that love what I'm talking about, you might want to at least estimate how much God's enabled you to give in your life. For some of you, I think you'll be stunned at how much is safely invested on the other side, and same time loaned to God, and at the same time, it's coming back, it's going to be given to you, at the same time, it's multiplying, and you'll see over the years how you've been able to grow in this. Not obligation, not pressure, cheerfully, loving it, enjoying it. There are a lot of people that try to wiggle and waggle and negotiate and see how they can get along. Their problem. They may have deeper problems. But this is truth for the children of God, those of you that carry a load that is amazing to me as pastor, amazing to people within the congregation, not knowing who's doing it, to other churches that hear. How can such a thing be? That was the question they'd asked Bob Doom. He said, it's done intentionally. Being filled with the Word of God and the God of the Word, seeing that he's not wanting to make you a pauper. He's not wanting to make you rich. It's the poor of this world that are rich in faith. But he's wanting to make you useful. Brother Ray Bearden says God will give you to give what he never give you to keep. Rich young ruler. He wouldn't let loose. Rich fool. He wanted to hang on to all he could get. You go on and read the parables, read the actual events, what's said place after place. Jesus told once of being in the temple between Palm Sunday and Easter, and he was in the area called the Treasury. There they had a nice metal box. Currency wasn't in paper, but in gold, silver, and brass or copper. And they had a place you put it in, and from that, it was sort of like a nice metal tube going down and falling in the metal box. You could tell the difference between a silver dollar and a penny. The rich men came with their wealth, and they start dipping it out, and chunking it in there. Then a little widow woman came. And she had two of the smallest, cheapest coins there were and dropped them in. And Jesus said to the disciples, she's put more in than all those rich ones before. You see, in the kingdom, it's measured more by what you have left after you give. Rich people can give in a lot of money. They don't normally, but they could put in a lot of money and keep far more. But she gave of that which was her living. She sacrificed and did without to give. That's what it talks about in Philippians 4. And my God shall meet all your needs is the promise for those that so sacrifice. See, there are a lot of things in the Bible that don't fit with lost people's thinking, and sadly, most Christians' thinking. You say, well, rich people be better in heaven than I will. Not necessarily. Who do you think's better off, those rich people or that widow? Jesus said the widow was. She'd put more in. The currency there doesn't necessarily match with our dollar and cent formula here on earth. God looks at it differently. He treats it differently. And he rewards differently. Yes, God does deal with different people differently with his blessings. These are some truths I've learned along the way. I didn't grow up with these truths. I found them in the Bible. And sometimes I didn't know about them till well after they started to work. And I looked back and said, what I'm seeing here is what he's been doing along the way. You know my life. You know my finances. I'm glad God keeps the records. It does work just like he said. Some of you may not have been aware of how gracious God is, how merciful. I never wanted to be rich. Oh, I had that pull of the flesh, you do too. But that was never a goal. I wanted to be useful. And God let me be useful beyond my imagination. Some of the things I'm seeing are shocking to me because I would not have believed it at the beginning of the race. But I know more Bible now than I knew then. And realizing I may be near the end of the race, I want to share some of the blessed truths of God's word for his people. Not that you'd receive a lot. Not that you'd get rich. But you'd be useful and prepared now and forever according to the teachings of the Holy Bible. Now, some of you don't know God, so you'll be very questionable about some of these things, and I understand that. And for those of you who do know God, realize he's a good God. He's a good God. If you don't agree, no surprise to me. I've lived with this around me. I understand why people wouldn't agree. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And that may be the root of the issue. Now, if I can help you, the big need is getting right with God, and you have to get to Jesus first. No man cometh the Father but by me. It's what Jesus said. Need to get to Jesus. And I'll do what I can to help you that way. But I want to give you some insight why some people are treated differently than other people, despite what is commonly believed. Jesus blesses those that love him and obey him. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Heavenly Father, thank you for these tidbits of truth. And if you've blocked some from grasping it, that's fine. I wouldn't want the precious truths abused. But help your children to lay hold. Help the rest to see they're on the outside of your blessings in some areas. And help them to seek you, not shortcuts, but to seek you. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.